So let's go ahead and start it. It's about the light and chapter 14 about catching up in a rightly divided way, in a rightly divided sense, considering the catching up of the body of Christ. We've been considering what the Bible says about several things concerning the light throughout Scripture. We followed the light of the world through history, and the light upon Israel, and the light in regard to Christ's return to earth to rule the world from Israel, fulfilling the promises made to the fathers, Israel's fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was renamed Israel, and his children would be the children of Israel. Now, let's turn our attention to what the Bible says about the light concerning the catching up of the body of Christ. Now, the characteristics of the catching up of the body of Christ are much different from the characteristics of the second coming of Israel's Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to Israel, to the Mount of Olives. You can tell from the wording that the going up of the believers in this dispensation of the grace of God to meet the Lord in the air, it leaves darkness on the earth, and that's very different from the coming of Christ into that darkness as a thief in the night. His coming is described as coming in the night, as a thief in the night, shining in the brightness of his coming, it says. God hid this dispensation from all the prophetic writings. It's not in prophecy. This dispensation of the grace of God and the body of Christ and the gospel of faith on Christ having been crucified for our sins is all during a suspension, a gap, or a pause in Israel's history and the prophetic fulfillment. It is not in history. It's not in prophecy. However, Christ's coming down to earth to rule the world from Jerusalem was throughout the prophecies, the Old Testament. In other words, they're different. Different things. One was prophesied while the other was kept secret or a mystery. Therefore, the characteristics of the two separate events are irreconcilably different. So here are several references about the catching up of the body of Christ. The scripture in the first group, the verses we'll look at, are primary defining passages. Then the scriptures in the second group are non-contradictory, but they're confirming passages that go along with the more specific defining passages. Notice that the verses about the return of Christ to rule the world from Israel are not included here. We're rightly dividing out the verses that in this list they deal with the coming to the air, the catching up of the body of Christ to catch us up into the air to meet the Lord and forever be with him. So let me just go through this list. It'll take a minute to just read the verses. If if you want to write them down, you can check them out. If you don't, we'll get through this list in just a second here. It's about 13, 14 or so references. And if you ever want to go back, you can get the recording and take them down one at a time. But 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53, Colossians 3, verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 to 11, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7, and 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 10 to 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, that would be a chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 3, and verses 6 through 10 in 2 Thessalonians 2, and also verses 13 to 17. Then we go to 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 14, and 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. And that's all the group that's a defining group, a mean, they're specific about it. Here are some other verses that are that confirm it. They don't contradict it, but they're not as sharply defining. Romans 5:9, Romans 8:23, Galatians 1:4, Philippians 3:20-21, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, 1 Timothy 3:15-16, 2 Timothy 4:8, and finally Titus 2:11-13, precious verses. All of them are. But first, here are those primary defining verses. Let's go through them. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51-53, and I forgot to get, you know, ask someone to post verses. I'll try and get them here, and if somebody can pull up the verse list and help me out, that'll be great. If not, I'll limp through. All right, here are the verses. Well, behold, I show you a mystery. And before we go on, the definition of a mystery is a secret. I'm going to show you a secret. In Scripture, it often means a told secret, a secret that he's telling about. It had been a secret, now he's making it known, and that's what he says here. Paul says, I show you a mystery. Therefore, he's making it known. He's showing it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. What sound does a trumpet make, anyway? The sound of a trumpet is, the sound that a trumpet makes is a trump. A trumpet trumps. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, not the last trumpet, at the last trump of that trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. That refers to those of us who we're believers who are still alive. Not that you or I are going to be alive. We might be. It might happen while we're talking here. But it might happen, 100 years from now. But it refers to those of us believers who are still alive when the trumpet sounds. For this corruptible, that's like us now, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Our bodies are corruptible. They get old. They wear out. They need cataract surgery or whatever else. They ache. They hurt. If you put a flame under your hand, it burns. It's destroyable. It's corruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So here are the... in these first verses, we see the change which the body of Christ is told about. And it has up to now been a secret, untold in the previous writings of Scripture. It's not there. If you find something that's similar, it's similar. It's not the same. It's about a different event. So that's why it's called a secret. A mystery is now being revealed by Christ from heaven to Paul for us. Behold, I show you a mystery. And here are some of the other verses. We were talking about Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, the word glory has more the meaning of glorification, shining kind of a thing, then it means heaven. Some people use it almost as a slang word for heaven, but it really means glorification. Other verses tell us of a future in heaven for the body of Christ, so it's not contrary. It's just that in this verse it's talking about glorification. This verse isn't referring to heaven as I see it, as I understand the wording of it, but rather to the final stage of a person's, God's process in our walk. He's bringing us through a process, justification, sanctification, and glorification, to bring us into conformity to his, the image of his son, according to Romans 8. So in glory is finally being conformed to the image of his son. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Yes, that's correct, Linda. The next verse is 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now there you've got elements of both gospel, both the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God and that he rose from the dead, and you've got facts there from the gospel of Christ that he delivered us from the wrath to come, salvation. Neither is, it's one verse. It's not, it's a condensation, but it does refer to both parts there. So Paul does not say to us that we're delivered out of the wrath to come, as Israel is told in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, and you can look at that if you want. They're told that they are delivered out of, I think it's saved out of the wrath. If we can look that up, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it'll clarify that. But I'm going to go on for now. We're delivered from the wrath to come, though. We don't go through the wrath. Israel goes through it. That's why they're delivered out of it. There's no wrath for the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9 both say that. There it is. Alas, for that day. Now, this Jeremiah 30, verse 7 verse is talking about Israel, not the body of Christ. It says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, not the body of Christ's trouble. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. They're in it. They get saved out of it at the end. Well, that makes it the end when they get saved out of it. But so that's different from being delivered from, let's see, it says here in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We don't even get into it. Praise God. So look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9 now. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's not our lot. The wrath of the tribulation period, called the 70th week of Daniel, called Jacob's trouble. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. It's one or the other. We don't go through the wrath, we get salvation. We're saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is not mad at us. He's already paid our sin debt on the cross. God's wrath toward believers has already been carried out. It's been satisfied. Actually, toward everybody, but it only applies toward believers. Romans 3:22 says that it's to everyone, but it's only upon, the righteousness of God is only upon those that believe. Just a second, please. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Precious primary verses here about the catching up of the body of Christ. But I would not, excuse me again, please. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, don't ignore these facts. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For who's coming down from heaven? Jesus Christ. And there he's called God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Now that, well, let me get back to that. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Nothing about Christ coming to, you know, to split the Mount of Olives and make a very great valley and to clean up on all his enemies at that time. It's a different event. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Nothing about fear, about running to the hills, nothing about panic. Comfort yourselves. God's going to lift us out of here, or snatch us, actually. The catching up, the word for catching up is a word like a raptor comes sailing down 200 miles an hour out of the sky to catch the rabbit or whatever it is in the field and just snatches him with his claws and picks him up in the air. It's an immediate, quick thing. So that's much more comforting than being taught that we're going to go through the wrath. There's not a word of wrath in there. Paul preaches comfort. He preaches peace. But he does not preach for them to be preparing for the distress of Jacob's trouble, which Paul, he would have to do that if he's called to instruct us and give us doctrine, if we were not going to be caught up before that happened, that Jacob's trouble happened. So if we weren't going to be caught up before Jacob's trouble, Paul would be error. He would be an error not to instruct us about it. Okay, let us notice some things here. Four things about the body of Christ being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. There are four specific things that help to clarify it. Before we get to those, let me just go back through these verses. There's some things that I didn't mention. Going back through 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. Others sorrow, for they have no hope. When someone dies, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We miss them. We have a sorrow for missing them, but we are joyful that they're in God's, you know, in God's kingdom, in His plan for the future, that they'll be with the Lord forever. Not going through any kind of a torture or hell or anything, punishment. But going on to verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now that's not the whole gospel there, that's just talking about, that it's a display or a manifestation, it's showing you what's going to happen to you. Christ died and rose again, we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which, so here's the even so, just like Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he explains how in verse 16, how God brings them with him. But let's go on down through 15 here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It doesn't mean we won't, those that are alive won't keep the already died believers or Christians from seeing the Lord. That word prevent, veni, vidi, vici, I don't know if you've heard that saying that Caesar said, I came, I saw, I conquered. Veni means to come, and pre means before. We won't come before they do. Excuse me just a minute. One of those days. Okay. We won't come before them. And he explains how in the next couple of verses. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we've stated before that that dead in Christ is never used of Old Testament saints. It's only of those in the body of Christ. It's only used of believers that have died. They shall rise first. That's how they go to be with the Lord, and God, it says in verse 14, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's coming down with those that have risen from the dead, and it says then, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall meet the Lord in the air then. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what was it I was going to say here? Let's see. I missed it. There's something else. Shall be caught up together with them. All right, well, it's a great event that's coming, and it's coming for sure. It's written in God's Word. God gave His Word on it. And so much of... all right, I think that's all I was going to say about that. Let's go on. Welcome to the room, those of you that came in since I started. But let's notice these four things that I had gotten started and ready to start on. First one, about the catching up that distinguishes it from the body, from Israel and the coming down to earth of Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives and to rule the world from Israel. In the catching up, there's a resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that we just read. Those that were dead in Christ rise first to meet the Lord in the air. Secondly, in the catching up, Christ Himself shall descend from heaven to the air to catch us up. And that's in verses 16 and 17 that we just read. Thirdly, in the catching up, we believers go up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's no touching down on the Mount of Olives, as we read, is the case in earlier chapters. We read it is the case when Christ comes back to Israel. And fourthly, there's comfort and joy for the body of Christ, knowing that we will be caught up together with the Lord. And you can see that over and over. Let me just list five or six places that it's mentioned in Paul's writings. And it would only be in Paul's writings because he's the only one that writes about this catching up. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 10, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, and then, of course, Titus 2, 13, the blessed hope. All right, the next series of verses was 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 11. But let us who are of the day be sober, and this brings us back to day and the light again, and that's what the topic is, the light. We are in the day, in the light. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope being heaven. I mean, that's what He's promised, and we believe it. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That's quite confirming, isn't it? It's just what was said in the other one in a little different way. So there it is again. We should live together with Him as being caught up together to forever be with the Lord. And He goes on to say, again, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Again, there's more comfort for the body of Christ. Comfort and joy. It's comforting that we get caught up before the wrath starts. Before Israel's prophecy starts to be fulfilled again. Because Romans 11:25 says that Israel is blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles become into what God is bringing us into today. So, if we weren't caught up first before the wrath starts, Paul would not be comforting us. Rather, he'd be warning us. He'd be warning us about this wrath that's coming, disconcerting wrath that's on the way. But praise God that Paul announces comfort to us. And as you go through 1 Thessalonians 5, there's an us and a they, you can see a difference there between those of us that are going to heaven and those that reject God's way and are not. But those Thessalonians were former Jews in a synagogue there in Thessalonica who believed Paul's gospel. They had come to believe Paul's gospel, and as we've defined before, he first preached the news about who Jesus was and that he fit in with the Old Testament prophecies and that he rose from the dead. He first preached that, and they believed that, which was in opposition to those apostate Jews that ran the synagogue. And the apostate Jews that didn't believe it chased them out of town, and they had to send them away by night to Berea. But he sent Timothy back, a minister of the gospel of Christ, and Timothy preached to them how to be saved, and that Christ had died for their sins, for them to just believe that, and Christ would save them. And they were saved. So they believed Paul's gospel, and it was preached to them by Timothy, and you can read that in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 7. They received trouble and persecution from their countrymen, from those apostate Jews. This was not Jacob's trouble. It was, they were in the body of Christ at the time. It was trouble for them, but it wasn't what the Bible calls Jacob's trouble. And it wasn't, well, the Bible, you know, the same event being called Daniel's 70th week. But it's sent, that will be sent to correct Israel, to chasten Israel, and to destroy the nations that are ganged up around Israel. But as far as those believers there in Thessalonica, and as far as you and I, 2 Timothy 3:12 applies. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy 3:12. And that's exactly what these Thessalonian Christians received from their countrymen. They suffered persecution. So, let's see here. I got it here somewhere. There we go. Okay. Did I say 2 Thessalonians? I did, didn't I? I'm sorry. It's 2 Timothy 3:12. And it's down almost halfway in the verse list there. So, if we go from there to 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7 says, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, talking to these believers, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. That's what God recompenses believers, rest in heaven when with Paul and Christ and all those that have gone before. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When will these Thessalonian believers be at rest with Christ and with Paul in heaven and the others? It says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So at that later time, after you and I have been caught up to be with the Lord in heaven and are at rest in heaven, then, it says, at that time, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven to those left on earth with his mighty angels. So there's a sequence of things. They're not the same event. The coming of the Lord to earth being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels comes after we're already at rest in heaven with those who went before. So at what time will Jesus, the Lord Jesus, be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels? That'll be when he returns all the way to earth to cleave the Mount of Olives and to reign on earth from Israel, according to Matthew 25:31. And Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne. I missed something there. Starting over, Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Therefore, you can see a relationship between the return of Christ to earth and the catching up of the body of Christ. We see that by the time the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, touching down on the Mount of Olives, those Thessalonian believers, along with all of us who will be dead in Christ by then, will already be at rest in heaven with Christ and Paul. So, in other words, where Paul is at that time in heaven, he will have, you know, he's already dead too. He'll be in heaven by then. So, for us to be at rest in heaven by the time the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, the catching up of the body of Christ has to have been earlier than the return of Christ to the earth. So it would have already happened before the Lord comes back. All right, I think we have explained that as much as we can. I hope it's clear. We can answer questions later if we don't have the list. Okay, I just saw that, Linda. Thank you for helping out with the verses, and I'll try and give you an advance warning here. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7. So, according to the scriptural sequence confirmed here again, the Lord will have already caught up the body of Christ in the air, taking it to heaven before the Lord returns to the Mount of Olives from heaven with his mighty angels. And remember that the angels are for the benefit of Israel on earth, not the body of Christ. Remember, I don't know if you remember, several chapters ago we went through that, that the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are to receive, I forget whether the word is eternal life or salvation, but that's Israel, the ones that are waiting to receive their salvation. We already are saved as believers. So it has to be the order, or else these verses couldn't be true. You know, that has to be the order, that the catching up is first, then Jacob's trouble for Jacob, for Israel on earth, and then the Lord comes down to clean up the those that think they can outdo God and outdo God's people. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7 confirms that, what we just said, that there has to be that particular sequence of events, the catching up of the body of Christ first. And that's what those verses just said. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, that you were... it's 2 Thessalonians. That doesn't quite fit there. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7. But they said that by the time of the coming of the second coming, well, the coming of our Lord back to earth, those Thessalonian believers will already have been caught up together to be at rest with the believers who already had died in Christ, believing that Christ was crucified for their sins. No problem. The problem is my throat. Hold on a second, please. Okay. So let's look at the verses. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Okay. Regarding that second one, verse 7, actually, Paul says, rest with us. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Well, that's enough of that. Let's go on to some other of the primary defining verses that confirm this. 2 Thessalonians 1, 10. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians. I don't know what's with me today. 2 Corinthians. We're looking in 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So he's delivering us from what is going to come. We don't have to go through it. Anyway, let's look at Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us? It's already is already talked about. It's as if it's a done deal. Hath delivered us, talked about in past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're already in his heavenly kingdom. Not the kingdom from heaven on earth, but the kingdom that's in heaven, that stays in heaven. God's kingdom in heaven hasn't yet come out of heaven to earth, but we have our places in his kingdom in heaven. We have a position in Christ's kingdom in heaven. It's accredited to us, and it cannot be canceled. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Okay, you were there a minute ago. I think I gave you the wrong reference before, but this is it. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Thank you. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So Jesus was delivered from death, and we're delivered from the wrath to come. It's coming. We're delivered from it. Past tense. Delivered. So let's go on with these primary defining verses about the catching up of the body of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 10 through 12. We'll look at three verses there. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, that's one thing, and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, he's glorified in his saints, and the other thing is admired in all them that believe. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, excuse me, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, next, Paul continues by emphasizing both events. And here we see the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together. This will be in the next verse. It's actually 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. So we see the two events in one statement. We see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that would be to reign over the world from Israel, coming to earth. And the other thing is our gathering together unto him. So 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and, additionally, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Somebody was forging Paul's name on a letter claiming that the day of Christ was at hand. Well, they didn't even use the right phrase. What they were trying to scare the people about was that Jacob's trouble was there, and the return of the Lord being the day of the Lord was at hand. But they used the term the day of Christ, which means the catching up, which would be good, But they were claiming that they had missed the catching up and were about to go through the tribulation. So Paul says, we did not write that letter. Somebody wrote the letter to them and forged Paul's name on it, claiming that the day of Christ was at hand. But Paul is saying, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's a fact that's going to happen, and additionally, by our gathering together unto him. There's something about those two events which proves that the day of Christ could not yet be at hand. It could not be happening yet. Why? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, we're about to close here for today, and we'll try to get into tomorrow, into more tomorrow on Tuesday. But what is preventing the man of sin, the son of perdition, from being revealed? Something is. In the text there, it has to be resolved before the man of sin can be revealed. Then Christ can come and destroy him in the brightness of his coming, as we've read in other passages. In the previous verses, we can see the separation between the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So at least we know that they are separate events. But beyond that, we see that this is an even earlier indication than 2 Corinthians 2:17 that deceptive people, even back then, before the Bible was done being written, before 65-66 AD, there were deceptive people forging letters as if written by the apostles, and or by Paul in this case. So, you know, just because you see somebody claims that this Bible goes back to manuscripts that were, you know, 200 AD or 150 AD, that's irrelevant how far they go back, because the errors were long before that. There's an error right there in your text. You can see, not in the text, but an error talked about that people were spreading around false documents claiming they were Paul's letters. Well, let me read the verse again. That's up in the verse 1, I believe it is. Verse 2. So I'll read 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. And you can write those down and read them for yourself. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. So they had been getting these letters and had been upset about it, and Paul is offering them comfort. And just one more, I got a verse here that confirms that there were errors being passed around at that time before the destruction of Jerusalem, for sure, 70 AD, which is long before 125 AD, when these people say they've got manuscripts back to, so they must be more accurate. They're not more accurate because they have self-contradictions in them. But the verse says, 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. There were many corrupting the word of God even back then, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Okay, I'm done. Time for any questions or comments.